In Normal Church, we are going through a sermon series looking at Proverbs, the Old Testament book of Proverbs. The Bible is a collection, as we know, of 66 books. It's a library of different sorts of style and genre. And so if you were looking in the library of the Bible, Proverbs would be filed under W for wisdom, wisdom literature. It's the Bible's self-help book. Well, kind of. God's help book. Mostly written by King Solomon and others 3,000 plus years ago. Now, at the time, it was thought that King Solomon was the wisest man on earth. Insert the joke. Can I wipe? No, I won't go there. God granted him a prayer. You can have anything you want, Solomon. What do you want? I will give it to you, says God. I wonder what you would have answered. You could have anything you want, says God, and I will give it to you. You could have had wealth, could have had a flashy car, job security, happiness. Endless other prayers granted. You see, I always think then you should do that. More prayers, please. What would mine be? Some of you will say, I know what you would want. You would want a date with Gary Barlow. Not even in the top five, can I say. Solomon could have anything he wanted, but he asked for wisdom to govern well. And he ended up being so wise with God's help that people would travel from all over the world to sit and listen to his wisdom and ask for his advice. And the Proverbs are intensely practical phrases and thoughts to help us to live lives with wisdom, to live with justice, to live with honesty. And there's something in Proverbs for everyone. There's stuff about teenagers and parents and their relationships. Because goodness knows, if you've got a teenager, you need all the wisdom in the world. Says someone with an 18-year-old. There's stuff for spouses. Anyone need wisdom in your relationship, in your marriage? You got it all sussed. There's wisdom for colleagues and clients. There's wisdom for how we work. Wisdom for the old and the young. There's wisdom for those times when we might be led astray and to help us keep on track. In Proverbs, there is something for everyone to help us live our lives and make our way through the journey of life with wisdom. I don't know about you, but I really need wisdom in my life because I have a little habit of putting my foot in it wherever I go. Some of you are going, yeah. My mouth just sometimes runs away with me. Sometimes I say things, they're all nodding over there, and I think I shouldn't have said that. I need wisdom. And can you think of places and times in your life that you're actually thinking, I wish I was a bit more wise. I wish I knew what to do. One of the themes of yesterday's coronation was a prayer for wisdom for Charles as he leads us as our new king. Every day we travel through life and we need to navigate the pitfalls around us, the mountains and the valleys, and for that, we need God's wisdom. So before we start our passage today, I'm going to ask you a question, and you can discuss it with those around you, just very briefly. What advice can you remember getting, maybe as from your parents or your grandparents or a teacher, that has stuck with you over the years? I'll give you a start of a 10. I remember my Auntie Evelyn telling me, if it doesn't say the price in the window, you can't afford it. True. Turn to your neighbour. What great piece of advice have you been given that you have remembered? Has anyone got a pithy, fantastic bit of wisdom to share? From the band, we've had marry at haste, repent at leisure, and youth is wasted on the young. I don't know how true that is. Anyone got a bit of wisdom to share? Oh, right in the back, Peter Hamer, a wise man. Give us some wisdom.
Do it now, and then it's done.
Oh, I need that written above my desk. Do it now, and then it's done.
If you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always got.
This is true. That is very true. Anyone else?
My mum says that anyone can have a boyfriend.
Do you have a boyfriend? But anyone can have a boyfriend. Okay. I don't know where to go with that one. Anyone else? Any wisdom from this side of the room? If you're watching online, type your wisdom in the comment box. Any wisdom? Oh, come on. There's a wise looking lot here. Alison Lacey, a wiser woman I do not know.
Well, my grandfather said to me just before I went travelling abroad, you must remember to say your prayers every day and open your bowels every day.
Wisdom in, other things out. Okay. Now, some of those, you may remember that more than what I'm just about to say. Interesting. We're going to read from the Bible now. And we're in Proverbs chapter 2. We're looking at the first 6 verses. Now, the whole of chapter 2 is wisdom for all sorts of different circumstances, some of them quite juicy. So if you want to find yourself a Bible later on, do read the whole of chapter 2, but we didn't have time to look at it. We're going up to verse 6. And it's written as wisdom in a speech to a son from a parent, setting out what you really need to be looking for in life, my boy. So, the moral benefits of wisdom. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So 6 short verses about how important it is to look for wisdom, to search for it, to keep on going and finding it, and finding that it comes from God. And there's 4 that this parental figure is giving advice to their son, saying 4 ways to get wisdom, to get skills for living well. I'm going to tell you those 4 things. The first one is believing in God's word. This father figure says to the son, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you." This is Solomon, and he's talking about a father's words found in the book of Proverbs, but he's also talking about the whole of God's word, which we call the New Testament, which we know later on in time became also the New Testament. He's saying, "My son, if you want wisdom, believe in God's word." Now, I don't know what you all think about the Bible here. Perhaps you got given a Gideon's Bible when you were at school and it has been stuck in a box or on a shelf. I know many of us here, when I say open your Bibles, people get out their phones and they open up the Bible app on their phones. But many of us here who come to church trust in what the Bible says as God's wisdom for our everyday. It's a firm foundation of hope and truth. Because we believe these aren't just words, it's not just a story, but they're God's words through people, but given to us by God. Yesterday, King Charles was given a Bible, a new Bible, a new version of the King James Bible, and he made promises and vows to the nation whilst using that and the Augustine Gospels, apparently. There you go. And the Archbishop of Canterbury said these words to him yesterday. "We present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this book, that keep and do the things contained in it. For these are the words of eternal life, able to make you wise and happy in this world." The most valuable thing that the world affords. Now, some people might say, well, that's gold, that's silver, that's Bitcoin, that's whatever. But no, the most valuable thing that the world affords is the wisdom and the clarity and the truth that we find in God's word. We gave Bella and Reuben little beginner's Bibles because we believe that those little Bible stories will help them grow up in wisdom. And that's what we want for their little lives as they grow up, for that to be a firm foundation that will not let them go. So the first thing we're told to do is to believe in God's word. And the second thing we're told in this, in Proverbs, is to remember God's word. "Store up my commands within you." Now that got me thinking. Now, a good proportion of you are too young to remember this, what I'm just about to say, because you're all so young. But the rest of us who are old may remember round about the millennium. When the millennium came around and 1999 was turning into 2000, who's old enough to remember this? Some of us, not all of us. I feel so old at this moment. There was a whole load of panic as to what was going to go on once our computers ticked from 1999 into 2000. There was a whole load of fuss and bother. And so we were all encouraged to plan in case it all went a bit pear-shaped, in case computer meltdowns caused food shortages and financial errors, in case the apocalypse happened. So people stored stuff up. Not just mad people in America, like the picture. My mum did. She bought two things that she thought would save us in the event of the apocalypse happening. We had loo rolls and baked beans. Which clearly, if you have too much of one, you will need the other. So, very bowel-related today, aren't we? We stored up to avert disaster, but just on baked beans and loo rolls. But of course, everything was fine. None of the computers crashed. Everyone just carried on. There was no panic for any reason. King Solomon is suggesting that to avert disaster in our lives, the best thing for us to do is to store up God's word in our hearts, to learn it, to live by it, to let its words and conduct shape us to store it up so it can strengthen us, to give us hope and teach us how to live. So the third thing it says is to accept God's word. Proverbs 2 verse 2 says, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Do you ever get into a discussion with someone and you know they're not listening? Spouses. Maybe that's the case. You get into a conversation and you're thinking, you are not listening to a word I am saying. And you can tell when someone's not listening, can't you? Because they're kind of, you can tell by their body language. And sometimes they're not listening because they're angry. Sometimes they're not listening because they disagree with us. And sometimes they're not listening because they're getting ready to say whatever they want to say next. They're planning in their head what they're going to say next. Our reading says to get wisdom, we need to hear it with our ears, to accept it with our hearts, and to agree with it in our lives. You don't want God's word to come in one ear, go out the other, not touch our hearts or our brains, but we need to let it change us and shape us and help us more be like Jesus. We get wisdom by believing and remembering and accepting God's word. And we get wisdom by asking for it. That's the simplest way. Verse 3 says, call out to God for insight and cry aloud for understanding. If you want to be wise, if you want direction for what you should be doing in life, if you've got something you go, I don't know what I should be doing, ask God to help you. If you want wisdom, pray for it. A bit later on in the Bible, in James 1:5, it says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without fault. It will be given to you. So we get wisdom by believing it, believing God's word, by remembering God's word, by accepting God's word, and by asking for it. Okay? So what's the benefit of having wisdom? Verse 5 says this, if we seek wisdom, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Max and Sophie, Chelsea and Josh have brought Bella and Reuben here today because they want them, when they've grown up a bit more, to take the path of wisdom and want them to one day know and love God for themselves. As George told us, Josh and Max were brought up within the walls of this church and wanted that same foundation for their children. That's what they're promising today, is to seek wisdom for themselves and for their children, and to try and find out who God is and what difference knowing him makes in our lives. So if they're doing that, how are we doing that? How are the rest of us doing that? Are knowing and understanding and finding out who God is? Later on in the Bible, in the New Testament, Jesus asks a really thought-provoking question to those around him. He asks this, who do you say that I am? Who do you think I am? And some people said, well, we think you're Messiah. Some people said, oh, well, we think you're a healer. And if Jesus was standing here, he is by his spirit, but if he was here in person and asks you that question, who am I to you? What would you say? Because I think a lot depends on that answer. A lot depends on that answer. If I was asked, I would say, I believe Jesus is my Lord and my Saviour. And lots of people here can say that. And having that wisdom and knowledge of who Jesus is has changed my life. Knowing that Jesus died on a cross so that I can be a friend of God, so that God can deal with my mess and my rubbish and all the things I get wrong. The Bible calls that sin. And I don't have to deal with that alone because Jesus takes that with him as he goes to the cross and is nailed there. He takes it with him so I don't have to be lumbered with it forever. And that he can make a way so that I can come clean into the presence of God. Now that has changed my life forever. And there's lots of us here that have had that experience too. But what would you say to that question, who do you say that I am? If actually you're sitting there going, well, actually, Louise, I ain't got a clue how I'd answer that question. I don't even have a Scooby where I would begin to put the answer together. I'd like to give you a challenge this morning. I'd like to wonder if you would commit to keep on asking questions, to find out more, to commit to learning about why has Max and Sophie, Chelsea and Josh wanted to make sure that Bella and Reuben grow up knowing who Jesus is, bringing them up in the Christian faith. Why? It's not just for a great party. I know you're going to have a great party later on. It's not just that. It's more important than that. Why is it? Who do you say that I am? Now, if you don't know the answer to that and you want to know more, there's loads of leaflets around the place, loads of people you can have a conversation with. The band are really wise. All of them. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. They're really wise. Ask the band. Ask George. Ask anyone on the tech desk. Ask me. If you've got like, well, you said this. I don't understand what you meant, Louise. We'd love to have a conversation. Ask Donna and Paul. They'd love to have a conversation about why knowing Jesus has changed us. About how Jesus loves us so much that he could not stay dead, but comes back to life after 3 days, showing that with God, anything is possible. About a Jesus who loves us enough to give us new beginnings and the opportunity to get wisdom that changes our life forever. If you don't know that, today's a good day to start asking big questions. Earlier on, at the beginning of the proverb, it says to search for wisdom like a hidden treasure. May each one of us be people who look for wisdom in God's word, in following in Jesus' footsteps. And we pray that Bella and Reuben, their parents, and each one of us here will be those people too, who look for wisdom and who find it in Jesus. Amen.